we didn't have that sacrament, we wouldn't need to care about each other. Because one day it's going to break apart. That is the very reason why we care. Your relationship is a crack in the tooth. One day it will have to disappear, fragment. Either one dies or the other dies. Or for some other reason we part. Because it's got a crack in it, that is the very reason why we should care. If you think it's going to last forever, that's when you don't care. When you know it will pass, that's why we put the effort into making sure our relationship is positive. We put effort in every moment to care. Because we know it is fragile. That's what happens in relationships when they fall apart. You take it for granted. You don't put any energy in there anymore. You think, well, she's my wife, she loves me, don't have to do anything anymore. Don't be stupid like that. Look at your partner and think they're always going to be there. Then you work hard to make sure they're there as long as possible. That's actually how we make use of the good times, by understanding them up in the heart. Is that what you're asking? Any other questions on that? Are there any Buddhist monasteries in India? Yes. Yeah. There's lots of beautiful monasteries in India which belongs to Buddhism. To Buddha. There's all these little qualities. For example, when I bow to a Buddha statue, I never actually bow to a lump of brass. I always bow to what it represents. And what the Buddha represents to me, when I bow the first time, I bow down to virtue. Because that's to me what the Buddha represents. And I bow down to peace. And I bow down to wisdom or compassion. Whenever I bow down to things, it means I worship them, I value them. So every time I remember what's valuable to me in life, because I even bow down to them, I remind myself to try and be more virtuous, more peaceful, more wise and compassionate. When I bow down, it's just a recognition of the priorities in my life. So the Buddha is not a statue. The Buddha is those qualities. In any place where you find virtue, peace, wisdom and compassion, there you will find the Buddha. So you can find those in Vancouver. You don't need to go to Burma or to India. You don't even need to go to a temple. You can find virtue, peace and compassion and wisdom in your own heart right now. Remember, in the Christianity, a church was a group of people who came together. It was never meant to signify a building. Later on, we confused the building with the people, and now a church is something out of stone with a steeple or bell house. Somehow the container was confused with the content. Even now, sometimes people confuse the container, which we call Buddhism, with the content, which is in your heart. Peace, virtue, compassion, wisdom. So if you want to find a monastery where the Buddha lives, you don't have to go anywhere except in your heart. There you will find the container, the content, not the container, the content of virtue, peace, wisdom. wisdom and compassion. And also you can save a lot of money on air tickets, customs and passports and all those other things. Okay. Yeah. Very good. That's the best monastery character.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Could you speak to working with fear in one's life?
Working with fear in one's life. Actually, I mentioned this earlier to someone who asked me, do I ever get nervous when I give public talks? It's been such a long time since I remember any nervousness in giving a public talk. And sometimes, I mean, the biggest public talk I gave was to 10,000 people in... Colombo, many times to 5,000, 3,000 places like Singapore. And also on TV, on live TV, where if you make one mistake, I don't watch TV, but I've heard that there is these programs where anyone who makes a stupid mistake on TV, it gets replayed all over the world. So there's dangerous going on TV. So I don't know what those programs are called, but I've heard they exist. But whatever happens, you can be very nervous. So, the way I overcame that, is I remember many, many, many years ago, I was giving a talk in my monastery, my city centre in Perth. And as I was walking in there, I hadn't prepared anything, I didn't know what I was going to say, about 300 people had turned up, they'd given up their Friday evening to hear me. What was I going to say? What if I disappointed people? What if I got lost for words? And for a moment, I got afraid. And then I had the insight, to hell with them, I'm going to enjoy myself. And so to this day, whenever I give a talk, I have fun. I don't really care too much what other people enjoy my talk with me, as long as I enjoy it. But when I have fun, when I just relax and play around, then you relax and you don't have any fear. I even do that when I'm on TV. I play around and sometimes I really upset the producer or the interviewer because you're so relaxed, you can play around and have great fun. So this is actually one of the best ways of overcoming nervousness. Have fun. Put joy into whatever you're doing and then you have confidence. You can't have joy and fear at the same time. Fear is a lack of joy. Secondly, I realised from a story I read some time ago that fear is worrying what other people think about you. Sitting up here wondering what do people think about each other. But I heard this story a long time ago that when you're in your teens and in your 20s, that's when you're most concerned what other people think about you. You know, young girls, teenagers in your early 20s, you have to dress up and be a beautiful girl. Because you're really worried about what the boys think about you. And as a teenage boy, it's the same. You don't have to dress up, you have to have really good speech. Be sharp. Be popular. Because even teenage boys or early 20s boys are very concerned what other people think of you. So in those years, you're so concerned what other people think of you. When you get to about 40, you've got what we call self-confidence. Basically, you can give a damn what other people think of you. You just go and do it, that's all. You've got confidence. So in your 20s, you can tell what other people think of you. In your 40s, you can give a damn what other people think of you. And in your 60s, you finally find out that people weren't thinking about you anyway. They only think about themselves. If you can only discover that when you're in your 20s, you'll be such a people. You don't have to care what other people think of you because they're not thinking about you. You're all thinking about yourselves. Well, that way you're not nervous anymore. You're growing and growing. The weeds got stronger and stronger. The trees bent more and more over. First twigs started coming down, then branches, then whole trees came crashing down around them. It was very frightening. And it got to one point where little Piglet's fear got so strong. He grabbed onto Winnie the Pooh's paw, squeezed it tightly and said, I can't go on any longer. What would happen if a tree fell when we were underneath it? And that was a real possibility. And for a moment, Winnie the Pooh was afraid too. And he And then he used his wisdom. He turned around and said, what would happen if a tree didn't fall when we were underneath it? And with that, the fear went and they walked home safely. It was a brilliant piece of wisdom. The whole fear is what would happen if we only see the two bad bricks in the future. When we see the world happen if it didn't, we see the 998 bricks in the future, which are more possible. When I was in Singapore once, I arrived for a series of talks which had been arranged a long time in advance. They'd been advertised on the bus stops. I was going to give a series of talks in Suntec Convention Centre, where the seating was 3,000 people for four days. I arrived in the middle of the SARS crisis, when the government had closed all the schools and advised people not to go to public meetings, such as my talk. So I was met at the airport with some very concerned organisers, shall we cancel? Even though they put a lot of money into this series of talks. Because I'd been on the aircraft, I'd read the morning paper, in big black letters on the front of the Straits Times, 99 people have died of FO SARS. They said, shall we cancel? And I said, how many people are in Singapore? What's the population? He said, about 3 million. I said, that means 2,999,000 people, 901, haven't died of SARS. You have, 20,000 to 1 chance of not dying. That's pretty good odds. Let's go ahead. And if you look upon it that way, what would happen if became a more reasonable world happen if it didn't? And I had probability on my side. And of course, we went ahead with the four talks. The first day, only about 1,000 people turned up. Next day, 1,500, or the third, fourth day, to 4 houses. When I gave a talk, I did lots of jokes on purpose so everybody laughed, because that exercised their respiratory system so they wouldn't get started. And no one did. It was just fear. And I remember this because I remember reading Edgar Allan Poe, Mask of the Red Death. It's only a short story. Now, it was always taken by his insight into fear. In this Mask of the Red Death, any of you remember this? That there was these demons, or devils if you like, who had been visiting all the major cities of Europe, spreading this plague they called the Red Death. And in this one scene, they all met together, and they were asking each other, how many did you kill in Berlin? How many did you kill in London? How many did you kill in Paris? I think the one in Paris said, I only killed 100, but fear killed 1,000. And that's a little quote there from Edgar Allan Poe. It was so meaningful, and it's true. Fear kills more people than the disease itself. Fear is the one you should watch. It's the same like having a terrorist attack on the underground in London, about a few months ago. That's big news. Now, how many people died? Was it 200, 300? 2056. Many more people die every day of road accidents. So why don't people keep traveling the underground? It's still far safer than going to work in a car. But our fear is always irrational, illogical. Sometimes people are afraid of going on aircraft. And I think I've counted about 20 or 25 aircraft trips to leaving Perth. I'm not afraid. One of the reasons I'm not afraid is actually if you die in a mid-air explosion in an aircraft, you have 3 benefits. You know the 3 advantages of dying at 30,000 feet? Number 1, instant cremation. So your family don't have to pay for a funeral director. No money, you just start on the spot. Very efficient. Number 2, Your family get an insurance payout from the airline. Usually, you know, funerals are very expensive. So actually your family make money out of your death if you choose to go. And third and most important, where you die, you're already halfway to heaven. There are three advantages of dying at 30,000 feet. So while you're playing, it's a great place to die. So that's actually my response to fear. To sum it up, now first of all, what if? Why do you always look at the two bad bits of the future? What might go wrong? When actually we don't look at what might go right. That's a great way of changing your fear. Not what if, which is wrong, what if it is right. When you have that biopsy, not just what if I've got cancer, what if I don't have cancer? And the chances are in your favour. Number two, have fun. Enjoy. Put joy into whatever you're doing. Obviously your immune system goes up. Happy people laugh more. Was it my favourite Americans was George Burns, the comic. On his 97th birthday, he was interviewed in a magazine. I read the interview. It went something like this. Aren't you concerned, Mr. Burns, about your lifestyle? He's 97. He was still smoking, I don't know how many cigarettes every day, or cigars, I think. Cigars. He was drinking alcohol by the bottle every day. Going to nightclubs at 97, staying up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and eating fatty food. Aren't you worried about your lifestyle? Said the reporter. I'm not worried, said George Burns. My wife was worried, and that's why she died 20 years ago. Well, it's not only fun, it's truth there behind it. Worry kills you, fear kills you, much more than this fatty food or a cigar. That's why you laugh. Never laughter is recognising some truth. You recognise that, that's true for worry kills you much more than anything else. So that's why, don't be afraid. Are we going to finish?
We're about 1:30 now.
1:30. So it's about, well, I was 30 minutes late. This is only fair. So I hope you enjoyed today. I hope you laughed a lot, got a lot of wisdom, a lot of happiness and joy. And as my master Ajahn Chah said to me, the only way you can say thank you is not by giving a donation or giving something back. The only way you can say thank you is if you take these teachings and you share them with somebody else. You make someone else happier, peaceful. You save somebody else's marriage. If I save yours, you go and save somebody else's. Or when you save somebody else's, you've created happiness and peace for someone else. Then your debt should be repaid. That's the only way to say thank you. Okay? See you next time.
Dhammahang, Dhammahang, Dhammahang.